Hello, welcome to the RTE Olympics podcast. I hope you're all doing well. We're on day three of the podcast, but day one of the Olympics proper, and it's been a busy day for Ireland, particularly in the water. So I'm delighted to be joined by 2012 Olympian Hannah Craig, who's going to talk us through the canoe slalom action today, and Tim Harnady, Olympic rower, who is going to reflect on today's action, but also look ahead to a very busy day on the water tomorrow. How are you doing, folks?
Great, wet, just about starting to dry off, but yeah, it's been a very wet day out here in Vestermann.
Yeah, who'd have thought we'd have the better weather back in Ireland, Tim, huh?
Exactly, yeah.
It's a completely different. Sorry, as we're recording, I'm watching the Rugby Sevens final where France have just gone 19-7 up against Fiji with a minute and 20 seconds left. And of course, Antoine Dupont, who writes his own scripts, has scored that try. So we will. I'll give you the final result there in case you as we go through.
Yeah.
And just before we get into the action on the water, just to give people a run through of today. In the boxing, Dean Clancy, unfortunately, was beaten in his opening lightweight bout. The rugby sevens team, alas, lost the 5-6 playoff to New Zealand, so finished sixth at the Olympics, which is an improvement on 3 years ago. Ireland lost 2-0 to Belgium in the hockey, which is, there's no shame in that. The defending champions, Belgium, Ireland played very well, particularly in defence. In the swimming, Ellen Walsh failed to go through in the butterfly heats, which is not her main event, and the 100-metre freestyle relay team also failed to progress. Cycling, Ryan Mullins 12th in the time trial, which is pretty impressive. Remco Evenepoel of Belgium won that. And Ireland are 11th in the eventing after the dressage phase. But as I said, we're kind of focusing on the water today. And Hannah, I was exhausted watching the canoe slalom, and then I watched your interview with Liam Jegu afterwards, and he almost looked like he was drunk. He was a bit bewildered, and he was just exhausted. It's by normal standards, is that a really difficult course? Because it seemed to really sap his energy.
No, I think that's emotional drain. Like, he put himself in a really difficult situation after that first run, literally back up against the wall. We definitely didn't expect him to be in those rankings coming off the back of a first run. I've been talking to him recently. He's come off one of what he's described one of his best weeks of training ever. And I think it was just a total shock for him, that first run and how it unfolded. And I think then, so you have to literally turn it around. You're putting yourself in a position where you have to deliver 100% on that second run. Nothing can go wrong, or you're saying goodbye to all those Olympic dreams he actually has, because it's not just semi-final he's looking for. He's looking for final and more.
Yeah. So just to fill people in, he qualified by the skin of his teeth, basically, didn't he? He took 16th place overall with 16 going through to the semis.
Yeah, like, that's definitely not a situation you want to be in. Now, just putting a little bit of context on that second run, his running time was good. He would have placed eighth from his running time. He had three penalties. The penalties count at the end of the day on your overall result, but the speed is definitely there. Top 12 will go through from semi-finals. It will all be happening in the same day. And I would have described his second run still not to his standards. So the base speed is there. But he's going to have to do a lot more if he's going to want to, like, I genuinely think he has medal aspirations, whether he can deliver or not, but he's going to have to crank it up seriously if that's where he wants to get to.
Okay. And then just to mention, obviously, young Madison Corcoran, a very young competitor, pretty inexperienced at this level. You know, she finished 24th of 25. You know, I kind of, her first run, she missed a gate, which is kind of curtains for that run, I guess, with the penalty points you get. But her second run was an improvement, and she still has the exciting sounding kayak cross to come later in the week. So her games aren't over.
Yeah, and I think for Madison, we need to give some context here. Like, I was actually just looking at the field, and so many of those names competed when I competed. There are 2 5-time Olympians. Every single Olympic finalist from Tokyo is here in Paris. And she is one of only 5 athletes who has never been to an Olympics and at that start line. So this is probably the most experienced category out of all the categories that are taking part. And she had some really brilliant moments in both of her runs. So same as Liam, she knew she wasn't in after first run. That second run, how she went for that very first gate, like that's a very daring way to approach that gate. And she did it. And I could see sparks all along her run and even her first run. So what happened when she missed that gate is she turned the angle of her boat too early and the water movement then pulled her across. She has a very eager and high risk style, but as she progressed, she'll learn how to manage that and not go quite as hard in certain places. But what a star for the future. I really believe Madison will be shining in LA, if not beyond.
Oh, that's amazing. Tim, did you ever fancy giving the paddling a go over the rowing?
I gave it a go, but it wasn't very good. I kept falling out, more the flat water stuff. So then I kind of stopped giving it a go, but I might give it a go. I might give it a go at some other stage later this year.
Okay. I'm a raft guide as well, Tim. Can take you down the white water course whenever you want.
Okay, well, I might take you up on that, Hannah.
I'm not sure where you are, Hannah, but you may be feeling the vibrations of the Stade de France at the moment, because France have just beaten Fiji 28-7 in the sevens final. So that's huge for the hosts. I think they were kind of, Antoine Dupont has kind of been one of the faces of these games. So
I was I was in the Stade de France the other night when they were not doing as well on day one, and the Stade was emptying as they were not doing so. So that's complete redemption from day one for them.
Yeah, oh, that's amazing. Before we let you go, Hannah, and seeing as we have Tim here, it's interesting that I'm probably going to pronounce this badly, but the Var-sur-Marne. The venue for the for the rowing and the kayaking and canoeing, it's the same place, isn't it? So it's unusual for the two sports, which some people might lump together, but aren't usually don't usually take place in the same place. It's unusual for them to be so in such close proximity.
Yeah, like in Sydney, they were right beside each other, but they had different entry points. Whereas right now, where the rowing ends and where the slalom ends, there's probably actually only 100 meters as the crow flies. So there is a real kind of crossover. Now, the athletes won't be seeing each other that much, but for the media, it's really handy. We can walk from one to the other.
And did you get much of a sense of the rowing while you were there? And what did you make of it in comparison to your own sport?
No, I sit more in the thrill and skill side. That's what the pain of rowing doesn't necessarily appeal to me 100%.
Oh my God, that kayaking looked pretty painful to me today now, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think the adrenaline, and because you've got so many other things to focus on, you don't notice the pain as much. I think on flat water, because we would have trained on flat water, I notice it so much more. So yeah, I needed something to divert me.
Okay, very good. And so, Hannah, then I'll let you go now. But Monday semifinals, you do think if Liam executes perfectly, he can make a final?
Oh, he should be making a final. Like if he today was a counter performance for him, this is not his usual standard at all. He's ninth ranked going into the event. He's really done a really good preparation for this. So, and I think today will have rattled his cage a bit like France in rugby in day one. So let's hope he follows the same trajectory as they followed. But no, I would really expect a final out of him, and I hope as close to a podium as he can possibly get. He is a World Cup winner. He did win a World Cup in 2020, let's not forget.
So is it 8 go through from the 16?
12.
And because 12.
12. So that's increased from previous Olympics. So before it would have been just 8 in C1 and 10 in K1. They've gone to 12 over both. So it definitely opens wider the door. And once an Olympic final kicks off, it's almost anybody's game. We always see surprises in Olympic finals.
Okay. And because he qualified 16th, does that mean he goes out first? And does he have one run or two runs, or how does it work?
One run. So semi-final, one run, and then top 12 from semi-final will go through.
And he goes out first?
He's going to be first to take the stage on Monday.
Okay. Well, we'll look forward to that, and we'll look forward to your coverage, Hannah. Thank you very much. We'll let you go, and we'll chat to you again later.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Okay, Tim. So talk to me about today. The two double sculls got through as expected, I suppose. Certainly the men's pair, it would have been absolutely expected. And then there was only 4 in the women's heat. Again, they would have been expected to come through there, would they?
Yeah, so the men, actually, I think they're going really, really well. But I think they even stepped on again today. So yeah, it basically exactly what happened was what was really expected to happen. It, with a little bit extra from the men's double, I thought they were sensational today. I mean, it's hard to spot anything that, wrong that they're doing, and they're clearly have peaked at the right time, you know. So they have. I originally thought they were kind of silver medal merchants. I think now I'd be there in the conversation for the gold. You know, the Netherlands double have been really, really good the last year. Well, the last sorry, this whole Olympic cycle. But I think well, from what we saw from Ireland today, they were spectacular. You know, so anyway, yeah, we'll see what happens later in the week. And the women's double, I actually looking at the times today after the event, so they came third, but they're not a million miles off a medal either. And the reason I keep talking about medals is because these crews are the pedigree that you expect them to be getting medals, you know. So they were a little bit off, obviously, first and second, and which if you're third in a heat, you know there's going to be good people in other heats as well. And that kind of you say then, okay, well, does that mean you're already on day one? Does that mean you're out of touch, at least, you know, theoretically for a medal? But I don't think that's the case. I think they did a good solid row, but they'll need to pick up a second or two over in the semi and then again in the final if they make it.
They very much they describe themselves as kind of a come from behind pair, Zoe Hyde and Alison Bergen. And it does seem that depending on the crew, different crews like to kind of approach the race in a different way. Some like to get out in front and kind of cling on. Others like to take it easy, and you know, and then you have obviously our most well known pair who are tend to try and be steady from start to finish. It's is that down to how they train? Is that down to just their physiology? Like how do they determine their tactics?
You know, it's funny actually. It's a good question. What you should do physiologically in rowing, and I'd imagine maybe any sport physiologically, like let's say it's a 6 minute race, well, it's always a 2K race, but different boat categories, it's a little bit longer, a little bit shorter, but let's say 6 minutes. I think physiologically, and you'd have some physiologists listening to this now saying this isn't the case, but it's as I understand it, this is the case. You shouldn't go off really hard, right? Because you build up a load of lactate acid and then you'll carry that all the way around the course. So ideally you'd even split it all the way, but just because people tend to go off quick, and then settle into the race. No one actually ever does it like that because there's a bit of nervous energy at the start. And traditionally,
you end up chasing even if you don't want to.
Chasing. So there's the kind of you're weighing up the physiology. We would not want to be looking over your shoulder and being behind. But Paul O'Donovan and Fintan and Paul and Gary Bosberger, when they were rowing, they kind of were confident enough to even split over the course of the 2K and just not take it easy off the start, but not go too hard. So. And then they'd always come through, but that takes a lot of confidence, you know. If you can do it that way, and you've the confidence to do it that way, and I mean, it takes time to learn how to do it. It's the best way physiologically to do it. So if the girls, I mean, I don't think there's any Irish crews that have a reputation now for kind of fly and die merchants, what we used to call them back in the day, and I was probably one of them in my early career. You know, you go to these regattas and you're young, and you just say, I'll tear off and see how I get on. And sorry, that's actually the right attitude when you've never won anything, because you might as well try and stay up with it for as long as you can. But then as you get a bit more experience, like all of our crews are now, you shouldn't really be doing that. And in fairness, no crews are.
Okay, that is interesting. So look, looking at tomorrow, let's start with the double skulls, Paul O'Donovan and Fintan McCarthy, as you say, kind of the guys who managed to stay on the red line rather than going over or going under it. There are some question marks about their form this year because Fintan was injured at the start of the year and they kind of, Paul rode, you know, on his own and they kind of had different partners. So they kind of came into the World Cup regatta in Lucerne, I think, wasn't it? And they, you know, they didn't win, which is what we Irish people, the casual rowing fans, had expected. So now maybe they're not ranked as high. They're not ranked number one coming in, I don't think, are they? And there's maybe the expectation levels shouldn't be as high. But I think for the casual sports fan, it's still, well, no, it's Paul O'Donovan and Fintan McCarthy, so they should win gold. Is that an unfair expectation?
No, I think that's, I mean, I guess it's hard to know what everyone's thinking, you know. Sorry, I guess I don't know what everyone's thinking because I know kind of what I'm thinking, if that makes
sense.
That's
what you're hearing, yeah.
Yeah, if you speak for the casual sports, right? I think, look, they were beaten last year as well and they won the World's Championships convincingly. Fintan had a little bit of a back trouble and I think he had tonsillitis or something like that, and their season was a bit messy earlier on. So in actual fact, I spoke to Paul after they came third in Lucerne and Paul was laughing, saying, I was surprised we even came third, our run-in was so bad. And subsequently, you know, between Lucerne and now, I think they've had a pretty good camp, and they seem to be, you know, there was no hiccups in training or kind of bumps in training. So again, I mean, I always expect them to win at this stage. There's three boats that can, okay, obviously anyone can get a medal, but there's only three boats in this conversation for medals at the Olympics, the Swiss, the Italians and the Irish. And I expect them to get the better of them when they get to the final. I'd be very surprised if they don't, but they'll go through tomorrow. They should go through tomorrow easily. I mean, there's two to go through. I just can't. Italy are in the other. Well, obviously they're seeded, right? So Italy, Ireland, and Switzerland are separated. So yeah, they should go through. I should be straightforward tomorrow for Paul and Fintan, barring disaster.
Yeah, and of course the thing for people to note is this is their last shot, because the lightweight double sculls, this is its last Olympics. It's being replaced by offshore racing, isn't it? I think.
Yeah. Well, this kind of, they're tying around with things. So actually, rowing has always, as long as I've known anyway, and going back years and years, it was a two-kilometer race. They've shortened it now to 1500 for, is it Los Angeles is the next Olympic? And then they've introduced beach sprint rowing, which is a completely different thing. I think from what I've seen, I've never done it. You run down, you jump in a boat. You run for 500 meters back, jump and run back up.
And you're dealing with waves, obviously, so it's completely different.
Yeah,
sport.
Yeah. It's from a spectator point of view, it's kind of mayhem. It looks like mayhem. It looks like a bit of crack, actually. But yeah, so that's come in, and all lightweight events are gone, which means the event that the lads are racing, Ball and Fintan are racing tomorrow and for this week will be gone. But that doesn't necessarily mean, because Ball and Fintan are so good, they'd be competitive at open weight as well. So I don't think it'll be last we'll see of them, but it'll be last we see of them in this combination.
Okay. Looking at some of the others then, obviously, because it is a busy day tomorrow, just to run people through. First, you have the women's pair in their second heat after Keogh and Fiona Murta. Then you got the men's pair, Ross Corrigan and Nathan Timoney, pair of Fermanagh men there in heat one at 10 o'clock. Margaret Cremin and Aoife Casey in the double sculls are in heat one at 10:30. Paul and Fintan are out at 11. They're at 11:20 in heat three. And then the women's four, Emily Hegarty, Natalie Long, Emer Lam and Imogen Magner are in heat two at 11:40. A lot of those names are very familiar to people. Obviously, the women's four won a bronze 3 years ago, but two of those crew members are now, obviously, they're rowing in the double sculls. Are they two crews that have potential to medal, or would you say, of all those that I've listed off, it's like a shopping list, we've qualified a lot of boats.
Yeah.
Are they all medal potential?
So yes, the short answer to that is yes, but I don't think they will all get medals. Yeah. I think, you know, they're all, and I'm not just saying this to be nice, but they all have the pedigree that they could get medals. A lot of those people have medals at major championships. But just the way things have gone over the course of the last 12 months between, you know, injuries and preparation and stuff, I don't think they'll all get medals. I think from tomorrow's gang, I would expect the women, I expect Paul and Fintan to get a gold medal. And I think that women's pair who wore in the women's four, that's Afra Keogh and Fiona Murta, have now got into the pair. Obviously, they got a bronze medal as part of the four. I think that pair will get a bronze medal. Unfortunately, just this would be my prediction, and it might change after we see what happens tomorrow. I think the four just that little bit off at the moment out of tomorrow's cruise, and I think the lightweight women's double again. And when I say a little bit off, I mean a little bit off. I don't think they're not going to be on the back door or whatever, but I just think a medal for the women's four and the lightweight women's double is a small bit out of reach. Interestingly, the men's pair got a medal last year, the two Fermanagh guys, as I said. They were unbelievable last year, and it was a shock. I remember actually watching the race, and they were rowing absolutely brilliantly, did everything right, aggressed, the right mix of aggression and kind of style and everything. But unfortunately then Nathan Timoney hurt his back, and then they had a lot of injury difficulties this year. So they're kind of an unknown entity. If they could come back to the form they were at last year tomorrow morning, which probably seems a little bit unlikely, they've had so much trouble, I think they're going to be right up there. If not, they'll struggle to get a medal. Obviously we're not talking about medals tomorrow now.
I'm just looking ahead. I asked you to jump ahead, it's fair enough. Apologies to African Fiona, who I took Olympic medals off there by getting my cruise Cruise
no,
mixed
no,
up.
They got. Sorry, you know, they had a medal in the four, but then they moved down. To,
yes, yeah. No, I gave their medals to Margaret and Aoife. I got
oh,
confused there. Yeah, I was snowed under by world class rowers, and I got them confused. Quickly then, just to finish, can you explain the difference between men's pair and a men's double sculls?
Okay, well, that's a relatively easy one. A men's double scull has two. Each athlete has two oars. And in a men's pair, each athlete has one oar. So, yeah, that's, I mean, it's straightforward enough, I suppose. That's the
and what's that? We can all picture the action, but what's the major difference there? Is it a huge difference in training? Is it a very different discipline? Is it like running the 100 meters flat versus 100 meters hurdles, or can you jump from one to the other easily enough?
Some people can. It's actually an interesting question that, you know, so if you're in the double scull, which is you've two oars each, you can row obviously on your own, right? In the single scull, obviously if you're one oar, you can't, because if you go down in circles,
in circles, yeah, yeah,
yeah. So typically you have some people just are not very good in rowing their own single, and they would be useless in a single, but they could be world Olympic medalists in sweep rowing. We call sweep rowing when you've just one oar. So physiologically, no, it's not that different. It kind of seems to be what you get into as a youngster, maybe, and what you kind of come up along doing. You know, some people are good at both. Some people have won Olympic and world medals at both. Other people only do one. Some people can only do one and not the other. So there's no way of testing one to say that they'd be good at one or the other. It just seems to be a bit of a dark art.
Okay. Obviously, you can watch all of the rowing coverage tomorrow on RT2 and the RT player, along with all the action from Paris and the RT app and the RT news app and the RT website. Perfect digital accompaniment. Our live blog will be going all day, along with digital highlights, and RT Radio 1 will have extensive coverage. But before we go, Tim, I'm trying to leave people with an interesting fact or a good Olympic story today. So I found a rowing one today. I don't know, do you know much about the New Zealand eight who won the gold in Munich in 1972?
I don't know much about that eight, but an Irish guy coached New Zealand eight who won the Olympics, or who won the last Olympics. But anyhow, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So it's obviously a bit of a tradition in New Zealand. In 1972, they were amateur still, and they were going up against some very well-funded teams. And they only got to Munich after they raised funds for their boat with bingo games and a raffle for a quote-unquote dream kitchen. And when they got to Munich, there was a bit of mind games going on. They were taking it very seriously, but they had this idea of projecting the idea of a good Kiwi bloke. So they had a strict limit of one beer per day, but they would only ever drink that beer when other crews were around. So they gave the other crews the impression that they weren't taking it very seriously. So I say hats off to the New Zealand eight from 1972. They sound like good blokes. And I'm guessing there's probably a zero beer limit these days, Tim, is there?
Well, sadly, yeah. But I mean, I think I'd encourage bringing something back like that in, and maybe except maybe like a three or four beer limit a day or something. Make it more enjoyable.
All right. Well, Tim, thank you very much for joining us. And thank you to Hannah earlier. And you can, of course, Tim will be on air analyzing the rowing over the next week or so. Okay. Thanks, Tim. And everybody else, I'll chat to you tomorrow.
Thanks for having me, Mikey.